This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You've been talking about your woman. I sure wish that you could see mine. You've been talking about your woman. I sure wish that you could see mine. Every time the little girl starts loving, she brings eyesight to the blind. Her daddy must have been a millionaire, 'cause I can tell by the way she walks. Her daddy must have been a millionaire, 'cause I can tell by the way she walks. Every time she starts to loving, the deaf and dumb begin to talk. All right. Making up a bread. Man in the next room was dying, stopped dying and held up his head. He said, "Man, ain't she pretty?" And the whole state knows she's fine. Every time she started loving, she bring eyesight to the blind. Let's go now.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Good morning and aloha. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here. Nice liquid sunshine falling down on us here. And, man, you look at the spectacular view of the Pali as we look up and the mountains shadowed with the rain clouds. So just to come in every morning and look at this this view is worth it, and then end up talking with you. And can't get any better, can it? Anyway, today is going to be a hodgepodge day. I need to vent and overload, get rid of a lot of this excess. I hear all the things on the air, and the airwaves fill with NSA and all the issues, the elders, and all of that. And sometimes I actually have people asking, do you have opinion on these things? I do, but they get hammered out so much and so efficiently. I should say, you may not hear it in one show, but if you listen to all of them, you go away with them. If you're bothering to understand it, you go away with some kind of information that would lend itself to giving a better explanation and a clearer picture that we have some problems here, big problems. And if you want to call in, whatever it is that's aching you or you want to talk about it, just feel free to call in 524-1080, but you won't be interrupting. But I just my take on it, how I like to participate publicly in these discussions, is that is understand, you know, we've often asked, how did we get slavery? How did we get to that point where one human can export another human and enslave them and treat them unkindly and murder them, rape them, do all of that for a little money? And then how did Hitler arrive at his destination to be as violent and as sick as he was? And how did he get a nation of people and others to follow him? Well, you and I can't reinvent the past, and we really can only rely on what is written and what is afforded to us. But what you can do is you can look at the current situation that's unfolding. If you want a clear picture of how Hitler got there, look inward. Look toward the Americas. We are a sick people. We're very educated, sufficiently enough for the corporations to hire us and get a job. But we're not educated to stand our ground, to demand our rights that's afforded to us. Remember the old term, these aren't American, these aren't French fries, these are American fries. You know, I went to Wikipedia just as a curiosity to try, and I have collected over the years some information about the different mindsets that we have and we saw going. You know, the Iraqi war was not agreed upon. We, the average American at some prior to that, didn't feel a reason or need. There was no justification. But somehow, we were able to go there and celebrate it. Shock and awe and all of those things. And so, how do we get to these points? How did Hitler get to his point? He didn't have NSA, but he had the squadrons and the secret police and all. And so, they went around and ferreted out. The NSA, the military industrialists, all of this is connected. They got bombs, bullets, machines they want to sell. It does no good to have a blueprint of a fancy Warthog airplane or aircraft or a new missile that could be attached to it and have it sitting out in some test range in China Lakes, California, or what have you, or at the Naval Research Station there at San Clemente or at St. Nicholas Island. Wouldn't do any good. So you would like to stir the flames and create a big barn fire so that you could sell your weapons, and the more they fire, the more you sell. All of this is connected. And I'm not speaking from a conspiratorial sense. These are the realities. Got bombs, got missiles, got bullets, you want to sell them. Unless you're a sickie, you want to sit there and just polish them up and go back and through the warehouse and look at them. You need to sell them, get them used, and encourage governments to do just this. Use this weaponry and all of it. So, but how do you get to manipulate a population? See, you can have the bullets, the bombs. You could have the retired military who steps off and goes into government and gets into private businesses and become a lobbyist or a salesman. But still, the circle isn't complete. You have to somehow create a mindset or farm or harvest or nurture or manipulate a population that can vote or that can vote one out or have an impact. So you need to collect information. You need to collect data. You need to be able to monitor. And if you're shocked that Snowden is an issue, and I have some questions about that, but if you're shocked that the NSA was taping you, tapping you, wiring you, watching you, videoing you, then I would say, you need to consult the mirror and look into it and understand it. All of these things were around us. Remember the ribbons. These support our troops. And how dare you to object? If you objected to spoke out that a troop was going abroad to fire and kill people, and we got reports of citizens, innocent civilians being killed. We bought that too. We didn't bother. But how did we buy it? Do you think that our government just sits around, collect that information just to see if in fact it's to protect us and from either one of us that may become a criminal? Is that the situation? I don't think so. I think, as I've often said, the CIA and all of those entities that are out there gathering information, not so much with the, quote, enemy that they're looking for. There's also a great benefit to the industrialist or to the businessman or to the congressman who gets millions in support and campaign spending from these companies that manufacture weaponry and benefit from the companies wanting to go abroad and take the oil of some native people or take the forests of some native people or take the minerals. In order to do that, we are the conscience, I guess. I'm going to loosely say we're the honest part of this scheme. So we pose a threat. As citizens, we know that we can vote, we can complain, but if you manipulate us by learning what we talk about, remember, all that we have now today in expressing our concerns, we do it over the Internet, not all. And the mail. And you know that the government, a long time ago, I can just tell you up front that a letter could be easily opened and was being opened. The U.S. Postal Service lent itself to that behavior and reading your letters and sealing them back up. They learned this is effective in the prisons, where the prisons read every letter that comes in practically. So if they can glean information, not to catch crooks, but to wait later and manipulate you, to know how they can manipulate a mass. So if you have a blog and you have blogs, keywords, remember? They tell us we are monitored by keywords or strokes in our typewriters or computers. Our text messages, they're all stored, so the keywords. So they can take they, and I you know who they is now. In the old days when we used to say, you know, they're out to get us, and they're and the intelligent person would say, oh man, you talk like you're paranoid. That's who is they? Why are you folks always talking about they as if someone's in your garbage can listening to you? Well, let me introduce you to they. They being the FBI, they being NSA, they being the Homeland Security, they being the TSA, they being your local police department. That's who they are. And they also can be your congresswoman, your congressman, your senator, your state representative, because some of them is still actively a part of they. And that is, some of them are active duty military. So what a nice mixture of personalities and purposes in life when you take our Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. Now, good person, I'm told. She's a Hindu and all of those things. But the question is, how does she wake up in the morning and strap on her clothing and walk up to participate as a Congresswoman, but being active duty? Okay, is she being propelled to the higher levels because she's good? Well, I don't know if she's good, because she had never stood still in one place for a long time. So for me personally, I'm always interested in knowing, how does she strike a balance? And I use her as an example because she lives here now. And there are many other legislators that are active duty, local administrators. So when a bill come across the table that they want to buy a drone and fly it here in Honolulu, does the legislator speak from a position of civilian, or is he speaking from a position of a military-minded person and an active-duty person who is in reserve? So it was inevitable that the person named Snowden, it could be anybody. It could be Smith, Brown, comma, Jackson, whatever. Ching or Chong or Young, whatever you want to use, it could be one of those, because there is a blending of such that, while it may benefit the individual, I get to carry two paychecks and I get to have good retirement when I leave, so I serve as a congressman or congresswoman and I serve as a legislator and I also serve as an active duty at the same time. Does that really jeopardize the integrity or water down the integrity of our process, of our process in government? Does that allow us to arrive at good decisions? I don't know. But all of this information is, for me, watching it develop and being concerned that it's something that I've witnessed for years, as even as a little boy, where we had no rights. As I've said many occasions, African Americans and people of color were just slammed. I mean, this thing about you had civil rights, yeah, as far as you could see your nose, because the rest of it, you were immediately, if you were found to be congregating more than two black men or three black men and three black people in one spot, you were suspect of being guilty of something. You were going to go become a terrorist or something. So all of this is not surprising as we see it unfold now. To be standing on the street corner, walking down the sidewalk, and the police car drives by, looks at you, stare you down, and makes another circle and drive back around. And then all of a sudden, you're 13, 12 years old, and they're out with the guns, pulling them down, and got the gun up against your head and telling you you look like someone that committed a crime. So remember that debate, profiling? Well, welcome to the world of profiling. Remember that debate of they can snatch you off the plane whenever they want to, and they said, the government should have a right to do that. Well, welcome to that. So Snowden is just another thread, I should say, or another piece of yarn in the sweater. They got us covered 100% now. Some people were fearful. Well, if I kick my cell phone, they can tell where I am. Well, true. They can. But again, why do they need this information? There's a currently there's a survey that Afghanistan, the citizens of America, think that it was a bad mistake and we shouldn't be there. But remember all of the incidences and the walkthrough that Mr. Powell, General Powell, Colin Powell, and Rice, and all of those people told big lies. And then we're shocked that NSA, see, you need all of this, complements one another. We get the daily activities of the citizens, of the free people. We compile that, and then we perpetuate lies as a government, and we, as the president and whomever, businesses, and we want to steal something from someone. So in order to put down or avoid any challenges from the citizens, you collect all the information on them. And then you turn around and you know now what the sentiment is or what the conversations are. And you create things like, we don't want Guantanamo Bay to close now. It should never have been open, but we don't want that. And we don't want, remember that fervor that we didn't want anyone of these so-called prisoners of war or whatever, terrorists, to be tried on American soil? Yet we are a democracy, and yet what, we can't trust our courts, no matter where they are, they would be fair. So when you go on your computer and you do keywords, blogs, emails, and texts, don't dismiss it as being you're not, you don't have to worry about anything because you're not doing anything wrong. It's not about doing anything wrong on your part. It's about collecting information and being able to think ahead of you and anticipate. So if they want to go and attack Palestinian or attack Israel, whatever, they can sample the information by putting it out there and then stand back and listen and learn from your blogs, from your texts. So it's not all about daggers and knives and poison bullets or poison pens. It's also about the most powerful thing there is, information. They can predict or steer, if learn what is the general sentiment of the public, and then all they have to do is go out there and introduce by participation from media. And when I say media, today media has, if you turn on, there's always an expert on this and an expert on that. He's a former lieutenant colonel, former general, he's this and he's that, but he's an expert on this, and he's a sometimes consultant for CNN, sometimes consultant for CBS or what have you. Is it as an innocent role that they're playing? Are they part of the game? It pays handsomely. And so I'm not saying that the media is part of the conspiracy, but the media tend in its process of submitting and presenting people with expertise. But we should be able to ask these questions. You have the expertise, but where are your loyalties? And will you speak out openly when you know that the government is wrong? In a democracy now. I'm not saying disclose secrets, but this entire process. And so we're surprised by NSA, but look at the actions and how did we get to this point? Well, remember, myself, I consider myself a civil rights advocate and environmentalist and what have you, and an animal activist. But in doing that, with that simple declaration, and I don't have to declare it, but then there is a list. There's a no-fly list. There's a list that all people in the environment or in movement should be considered as terrorists and what have you. So this wasn't a single act. This NSA thing is not just something that a burp in the system. This is how Hitler got there. This is how, and the parallels is, if you want to argue with me or share your opinions, 524-1080, I don't want to just sit here and talk about something that giving you all of my opinions and as if it's gospel. But how is it that we know that some tolerated the practices of Hitler with the Jewish population? And it happened. And we now know that people stood back and knew it was happening and didn't lift a finger, didn't speak out. Well, how is it that we can have innocent people with errant bombs, or not even just errant bombs, just innocent people who is accompanying or in the company of an individual that we're shooting with drones? How is it that we can tolerate that, we as American citizens? And how is it that our legislators now, I think the House just passed a bill, the extending the Patriot Act or what have you, or renewing it, or the NSA, I'm sorry, I don't want to misspeak on the internal spying on you and I. Senate, I think, has to hear it here soon. But how is it that we arrived at this point? How do we get here? How do we stand back and let nations stop other nations from providing food and water to certain people or population? How do we do that? How do we stand back? Well, I don't think any president or any politician will just outright take a gamble. I think before all of this now in modern times with the aid of electronic surveillance and all of that and gathering data, I think there's think tanks sitting in the back rooms. That, I mean, if NSA exists in gathering the information, you would hopefully know that there is also people there that is crunching and disseminating and trying to predict and project this information. And what can they do with that? Can they just take it and use it to manipulate? So it's not about, again, the poison bullet and the poison pen and all, but the bigger picture is that how did we get here is my question. And it's going to get worse, to be honest with you. We created, as I say, the no-fly list. You can be put on it just like that. How dare you if you were to object? Let's say, remember the President Bush at one time didn't want you to see the number of caskets coming back. How is it that at the same time you had Willis Sperry here, a local state representative, a state senator, introducing bills about the vexatious requester? So something is out of control, well, the entire system is out of control, but how is it that it's a coincidence that Sparrow would go ahead and introduce such a bill? They sought to restrict the public's access wherever they could to documents and information, while on the other hand, they're just opening up the barn door with no limits as to what they're listening in on you, getting information on you as citizens. So a government that is more interested in what you're doing and also putting up roadblocks to keep you from knowing what it's doing, it is doing, then you have a problem. That's how we get there. That's how I think. But also you just have to have a nasty part in your soul, in your body, to arrive at that point where you know that people will be killed, maimed, and the freedoms stripped of their freedoms. You know then that they are out there. And yes, they. And I'm not paranoid and I don't smoke marijuana. I don't smoke anything. But just to say to you, if normal people start sounding like people that are on drugs, then you better take notice. They're back and they're here. And they even have you thinking that Snowden is a criminal. I submit this again. If Snowden did something wrong, and it's illegal, inconsistent with the law, and I think if that's the case, then give him a trial. You know, that's the process, if it's a democratic process. But the bigger picture here is that I think, in all honesty, that the people that were the contractors for the NSA that Snowden worked for should be prosecuted. Because if this is the privacy of individuals, this is the activities of our government. I don't know if they are considered classified if you're scamming and scooping off the top of people's conversation. I don't know if that's classified, but the activity in gathering it may be classified, the methods and techniques. But why aren't we hearing that the company that Snowden worked for violated and was loose and reckless with the information? If a city worker here in Honolulu releases information nowadays, he or she can be prosecuted. And there are some people that have attempted to prosecute people for inadvertently or intentionally releasing documents that would be available to you, but instead they withhold them. So why are we hearing that NSA is prosecuting? What happened to the contract? Did we hear anything that they canceled the contract with these people? What is there about all of this information, the privacy? We talk about identity theft and all of that. Other companies, I would think, get prosecuted or at least get punished and lose a contract. Did we hear any of that talk? Did Congress scream and get mad and ask the question? If you had such sensitive information and such sensitive activities, how dare you hire the likes of Snowden if he is, in fact, as you've described him? So this process is where I come from on this angle or this aspect of it is it's out there. They're collecting information. They have been, they will be, and they'll continue. But there's a lot of dots you can connect. People that are retired military or step out of military and get hired and get into government, basically, in my opinion, is just an individual coming along who's probably hadn't been through the process to let him know that in the military, there's a judicial process, Article 15s and court martials and what have you. But in the civilian life, it's different. Decisions, you don't just issue an order and they click the heels in civilian life. In the military, you can. So I believe that a lot of the military people, still they have the clearances and still have an allegiance to the military industrialists who is hiring them as contractors, giving them money as donations and campaign fundings, sponsoring some of their little projects that they have in the communities and what have you. And so we, all of us, should never, ever be shocked, you know, that we were being spied on. This radio show collected all and listened to what I said. But you see, I'm the kind of guy that, well, that's good. I can save you some time. I'll record it, and then after 25 minutes we go off air, I put every show up. So you shouldn't have any need to spend taxpayers' dollars to figure out what I said. You know, I'm making it easy for them. But again, for you and I, the common citizen, I wonder how much we're being, if you look at the local paper here, there is I don't recall ever seeing this much military coverage. I really don't. If there's the big ball, I don't, how many times have I seen pictures of the big golf ball in the newspaper? How many times do we hear what the military is doing in the newspaper? There's new fighters coming to town, blah, 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 all of that, and it's right there front page. I don't see that in the past, way back, I don't recall seeing that much military. So we're being primed and prepped, and I think it's just another extension of an activity that's complementing the actions of the NSA, the Homeland Security. And I watched a commercial on TV. It says, if you see something suspicious, let us know or call in or don't hesitate. And I'm thinking, my God, have we digressed that far that now we're openly? But then I stop and say, well, I distinctly remember and know for a fact that this is something that we, people of color, have been subjected to for years, historically. And where I'm from, there was and all of you that are feeling uneasy with this, you know, I do apologize, but sometimes, you know, things have to be said. So, you know, if it's offensive, I understand, and I don't know what pill you can take, but it'll be okay. But the reality is that I lived in a town where there was a railroad track, and the railroad track divided the white communities from the black communities. And if you were seen in that area during the daytime or whatever, you better have a lawnmower, or you better look as if you're sweating and working or just transiting the area, or the police will be called because you looked out of place. So profiling has been commonplace for me and my life and others. So when we see this practice called profiling and then we see people get upset about it, it's like, we've been trying to tell you that this is what it's like. This is what they do. So all of us should be concerned when we see one portion of a population or any portion or any group being singled out. Just know that at a minimum you should consider that they're practicing and preparing to do you if it was necessary or if they desire to. They'll have it perfected by the time they reach you. If any of you out there remember the phone system, I came from a time in an era where you could pick up the phone and you had party lines. And so there could be two families on one line. And you could pick up the phone and you could actually hear the other parties talking. But then you could also pick up the phone and call, hit the button and say, operator, patch me through to, yes, I'm that old, believe it or not. And what's to say that the police or anyone listening or the operator didn't work for police agency or what have you? So the ability to listen in has always been there. The practice has always been there. It's just that we, the people that were told that they were free and were picking up the phone and reporting people like me for doing things and seeing more than two or three people of color congregating together or just standing around talking about church, you know, that was something to be alarmed about. They obviously were about ready to start a riot or something. They were going to try to change the world, you know, through a militant approach, when in fact they were just human beings standing there and may have just gotten out of church or whatever, having that right to talk. So this practice that we see is kind of, it's in a sense, it's a sick, this is a sick statement, but it's kind of refreshing because I think now that when the masses or the entire population or the greater part of a population of free people began to realize that all of our rights and freedoms are threatened, then maybe we will act on it. But when only a small portion is complaining, then maybe nothing will get done and the agencies become more proficient at listening in and getting your information and manipulating you and manipulating other foreign countries, and it will never stop. But I did some Wikipedia, and I know some say don't trust it, but just for general conversation. I went there in popular opinion in the United States on the invasion of Iraq. The United States opinion of the invasion of Iraq has changed significantly since the years preceding the incursion for various reasons, mostly related to the unexpected consequences of the invasion as well as revelations of misinformation provided by U.S. authorities. The U.S. public's perspective on its government's charge to initiate an offensive is increasingly negative. Before the invasion in March 2003, polls showed 47% to 60% of the U.S. public supported an invasion, dependent on the U.N. approval. According to the same poll, retaken in April of 2007, 58% of the participants stated that the initial attack was a mistake. But again, and I believe that's a testament to why I say the information that they gather and glean, they can manipulate that and know the general sentiment or the general thoughts of people and proceed from their back rooms or their sweatshops, the think tanks or the military consultants, initiate and activate that propaganda machine to cause it to push to the left in their favor. And by the time we catch up and understand that we've been duped, it's probably too late for many people because a lot of them lose their lives and our dollar amount goes up, the cost to the taxpayer goes up. So that's just from my perspective what we as a free people should be worried about. Now, I stay away from the fancy-dancy words that talk about this because I'm not well-versed in this subject, but I know the basics. I do know that if we're worried that Snowden in the NSA matter was able to get hold, as they say, I'm still taken aback the fact that they're willing to admit that a person of this stature, as they tried to downplay it, is he's insignificant. But if he's able to get that much information, then, and they're willing to openly state that without worried about consequences or worried that it may reflect bad on them for selecting or having someone amongst them, or they don't have a screening or the security, at the risk of looking stupid on their part, I guess it supports what I'm saying. It's this big ring of conspiracy involving our government, its contractors, and I've talked to you before about the whole process of hiring security guards. You see, hire security guards, and therefore the security guard operates from a different spectrum, you know, point, and so he can do things, insult you, and then call the police and say that you violated some trespass law or something. Good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to perhaps give a very quick history and some books that I'll do it quickly. Machiavelli.
Take your time.
Machiavelli the Prince, in order to be successful to be elected, use force, and if you do not need force, use propaganda. Machian philosophy, duality, good, bad, black, white, right, wrong, no nuance. Now, 1935, it can't happen here, Sinclair Lewis. When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag carrying a cross. Noam Chomsky, any book probably by Chomsky, but these three, Propaganda and the Public Mind, Manufacturing Consent, and Imperial Ambition. The Republican noise machine is what has happened to us today by David Brock. Right-wing media and how it corrupts democracy. Any one of these, dozens and dozens of others. But question, I am an independent. I am not Republican, nor am I a Democrat. I'm perhaps a progressive, but I criticize both the Democrats and the Republicans. Well, who are you? I am just a citizen who tries to be aware of the reality and the real politic that's going on here and in the world. And everything that you've said, I've called before, is absolutely right. And I wish that you were given more opportunity to provide more scope for the truth that you express. And I will just listen to any comments you might want to make. Thank you very much.
All righty, thank you. Now, you want to see what an American look like, go to my website, and you can see me, and you can see just an assortment of people. There's no one particular person. I don't drape myself in the flag, but I love the flag. And often I'm challenged by, how can you, as an African-American, say that you love America? Well, I do. I don't need to explain any further. Yes, there have been hard times, and yes, there's been good times. But the problem is, I could be in Timbuktu in the middle of it and be shot by some guy who wants to take over there. The reality is this. When you a human being on this planet, you hope to see things to be homogenous. You want it to be good. You want equality. You want fairness. You want all of that. But when I don't wrap myself in the flag, then Joe Smo says to me, you're an environmentalist. You're a radical. You're an anti-American. And I say to myself, should I tell this fool that I volunteered and signed up to join the Army at 17 in a delayed entry program? Should I tell him that? But then it wouldn't matter, because it doesn't matter what we think anyway about many people. They're predisposed anyway. If you're brown skin, you could be a terrorist. And if you're a person, Anglo-Saxon, that expresses concern with others about the plight of others, or people of color, or people of different religion, then you must be a traitor. These are the things that we have to endure, all of us as human beings, as free Americans. And if you're an environmentalist that care about the world, then you must be a terrorist. And so we must make some laws, and we must have Congress to pass some, make severe laws that we can put environmental groups, individuals who are involved in the environment, on a list and call them terrorists too. And therefore, they can't fly to Canada to help the native people or to help them speak out or to simply go up there and record and take pictures and document what is going on, because we all are a threat to the military-industrialists and the fascists that have taken over our country. And it's taken over, folks. The likes of Pelosi's, all of those people, they have the goods. They have the caviar. They have the airplanes. They can come and go. Even Mr. Biden is here now. I was thinking to myself, it's rather rare that we see the president and the vice president going out and touching hands with the common person. It's easy to show up at Hickam and have a captive audience of people falling in love with you and wanting to get your autograph, especially if the bulk of them are military. What a great thing to do. Great prop. Good morning, caller. Comment, a question.
Hi, Carol. I was tuned into you, so I'm not quite sure exactly what your subject is, but I think I got the gist of it. But listen to this. Talk about fascism and oppression of the weaker and the poor among us. And I just got kicked. The police came in. Arrested me if I didn't comply to get out of a Starbucks store, which I go, I've been a customer to them for years, but I look ugly, okay? I'm in a wheelchair and I have bags hanging over and all that kind of stuff. I look ugly. So the manager has been on our cases, but then we got an apology, and we got a bunch of coupons to get a free coffee and all that.
So back up for a minute. You're saying that Starbucks called the police on you to...
Right, here in Colorado.
What did they say you were doing? What was the violation?
Oh, we were being slanderous.
Being slanderous?
Yeah, yeah. In other words, the manager just doesn't like... We won't be friendly. We don't be friendly with her.
Well, I'm very interested in the story, but you're cutting corners here. Just lay it out. What happened? I mean, you want to tell us a story, or you want to get us to what you want us to hear? I mean, did they violate your rights? Were you a paying customer?
Oh yes, indeed. Yeah. They violated our rights really bad, because they were screwing on us and soaking us on us and telling us we were welcome there over and over again.
They told you what? You entered the store in your wheelchair, and when you say they told us, who's us?
A friend of mine.
Did they say you were loud and recalcitrant, or obstructing others or offensive to others, or just your mere presence was a problem?
Well, the way they would say is, you're not buying enough coffee, is what they're saying.
Is that what they say, that you're not buying enough coffee?
Right. They say the rules are you have to buy every 2 hours. But the thing is, they were directing it at us, no one else. Mm-hmm. They were targeting it at us. And this other fella who has cerebral palsy, and he was kicked off the property too because he shakes a lot. You know, I mean, now they don't say that. They don't say that at all. But they just X them out. You know,
Dave, I'm trying to get what specifically did they cite and tell you? I mean, obviously they didn't just tell you to leave, or maybe they did. But what did they say when they asked you to leave? Why did they tell you to leave?
Well, I mean, the police
anyone. The police just commented. Yeah. The manager told you, apparently, and what did they tell you? And then, in turn, you didn't comply, I guess, and they call the police.
Yeah, well, actually, no, the police came. She just called the police directly because she is targeting us. In particular, and I she made us feel unwelcome. She called the police yesterday too, but they didn't make up a little thing where, you know, they X you out for a year, you know.
Right.
But this time they did it, and on what grounds? On the grounds that she says we were slandering her. I was not doing anything of the kind.
You were
slandering. You know, they lie.
You were slandering her. Talking about her or what? I mean.
Well, no, in front of her. Yeah, we were explaining that we don't like the way you're treating us.
Oh, okay.
You know.
I see.
I know. And so they. But what I'm saying is, this is all goes on with what you were pretty much talking about the fascism that's going on now. Corporate fascism, you know. And here, listen to this one. There in New York City, there was a group of deaf people that were being, they were treated really bad at the Starbucks. And they were being laughed at. And, I mean, by the, you know, the employees
right.
there and everything like that. Anyway, they have a big lawsuit against them, multi-million-dollar lawsuit right now. Actually, go to alternate, and you'll see that if you want to.
That going to the internet, seeing that existing case doesn't help explain this one. So I'm reluctant to, take this hook, line, and sinker. I got to be honest with you. Just if you're conveying that you show up on a regular basis as just a normal customer, and you're confronted by the management saying we don't want you here, I'm a little puzzled by the word slandering and the claim that you're slandering her or what have you. So I don't, if you could get later on, you can call back in the next hour. I need specifics. I don't cotton to having people call up and say they did me wrong and then you know, and we go, okay, let's go over there and sound, because there's a link here. How did the police get involved? Did she ask you to leave and then you refuse, and therefore she called the police? Or does she look at you and go, get out of here, and call the police?
Neither of that. She just called the police on us.
Okay.
Behind our backs.
Okay, if you'd like
I'll send you some emails on this.
No. I mean, you got listeners out there. They're not going to be party to the email.
We make
claims, you know, we don't want to impugn someone's integrity by just flippantly saying things. I have to caution you there. But
sure.
I am interested, and I believe that it's possible. It's just for the sake of conversation.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Clarity.
Sure.
I want, you know, I'm on your team. I'm on your team. But
yeah,
you know,
right.
But
sure.
You know, we're not going to change the score while they're not looking.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, this is an example of kind of what you were talking about.
Right, I know, but, you know.
The elitists and the rest of the world.
Well, call back and then let's get some more specific. If you got their number, let's call them and see if they'll talk to us.
Oh, that would be really cool. Yeah, okay.
Well, see if you can get the number.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, see you shortly. Bye.
Thanks a lot.
I know I hurt your feelings, and I'm asking you to forgive.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
I'll admit, darling, I really done you wrong. I'll admit, baby, I really done you wrong. But if you believe in me, you'll be happy from this day on. Not right. I'll admit, little girl, the words I said were not right. But you're too nice a girl for not to forgive me this night. I did you wrong, and I'm begging you to forgive. I know I did you wrong, and I'm begging you to forgive. Because your sweet disposition strictly gives me a thrill. You know I do. Trust my baby, she always look out for me. But that sweet, oh, it's so good to me.
Yeah. Maybe my time is so expensive, girl, yeah. And I'm not just a little bitty baby boy. No, no.
You know I will, honey, you know I will.
Tell me that I give you, yeah. Don't be ashamed, let your heart be your guide.
Tell it like
Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning again. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Just sitting here rambling and talking and chatting, and if you'd like to, 524-1080 is the number. And you can pick up all of these conversations at carol@carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and join the many other thousands of people that go there and do whatever. You might even find a nice picture. And by the way, if you're a student out there and you're doing a research project and you need photographs, please send us an email. We'll be happy to share some of the photographs of whatever wildlife, so feel free to call or send an email. Anyway, I'm sharing with you some of my insight, and I just, as I said earlier in the early hour, quite often people ask, why don't you talk about this? Because sometimes people get emotional and then I think that somehow we get to the point where we think we're more American than the other American. And as some say, we'd like to really get away from titles and ethnicity and all of that. Well, that hasn't happened yet, so we'll have to deal with the best way we can. And these are sensitive subjects, and from my perspective, quite often I inject and introduce my perspective, my experience, as many other African Americans. Some people are offended by that. They think that we should move on and let that be. But this is the process, you know. I mean, we could have a society as we have today that don't know that chickens are farm-raised or factory-raised. We could have a society where kids don't know where melons come from. They think they grow on trees. We could have that because you walk into the store and you see what's there and you never look beyond that because you have no reason to, or no one has exposed you to these things. So when you go to a farmer's market, you don't know if the product or the produce comes on a vine or a stick or a bush or a tree or what have you. So this is the same as I see life. You don't know who we are as individuals, and so the best thing to do is lend an ear, lend a heart, and then I think when I tell you that they're listening to my phone calls, and when I tell you that they're stopping us and they're profiling us, don't take the high road and go, well, can't we just get on by that? We don't really want to talk about race today. We don't want to talk about that. That's, you know, that's it. They don't. This is 2013. And then, voila, the curtains go up, and you learn that you're being listened in on and spied on and manipulated. And then it's. But we as an effort, a community, we can combat this. We can get our government back and have strict rules. We can. And those that want to be inside of government and wear two hats as a military person, I'm not frowning on it. But you're going to have to come up and have a strict definition of and be clear. And speaking of clear or clarity, in the state of Hawaii, what I've witnessed lately, in the old days, it was they were the government would withhold documents to conceal some simple practice that. You know, the manager was stealing, and they don't want the public to know that they had two employees that was skimming off the top and taking money or using resources that for private purposes. You had that kind of fear, and they didn't want the embarrassment. But today, you take, for example, I've filed on the GMO, and there's that big discussion about GMOs. And I'm still finding it difficult to accept where we are on GMOs because the companies came here and they took over via our government officials. And so I file a request, as I told you just the other day, I filed a request some while back with the State Agriculture Department and the Health Department. Now, the health department's information, I'm looking for an old file, about 3 years old. So that means it's not active, it's just collecting dust, it's done. Now, all of a sudden, I want that file, and I'm learning now that, well, I wanted the inspection file. There was some incidences of inspections that took place on Maui, for example, at one of the GMO companies. So I want that file. It's an inspection file. That's all I want. That inspection is done. If they took legal action, it should be in the file. The file would be closed unless there's an active case. So I'm still waiting, and the explanation given is, well, we really don't have an inspection report because the inspector that went there never wrote one. But we have a lot of pictures, you see. And so when you see the activists or the GMO, the people that are opposed to GMOs or want conditions where there's disclosure or openness about it, they get scorned and they get put in their place and be accused of being terrorists or lumped as criminals. When in fact the real criminal behavior occurring is within our government. It has an obligation, a fiduciary responsibility. If it shows up to inspect It's not a social visit. They should and should have had a report of investigation. That person shouldn't have gone there, and then we learn 3 years later that, oh, well, we really didn't have a report because he didn't write one, but we have a lot of pictures. Well, who's going to put words with the pictures? Well, that inspector's no longer here anymore. But there are a few documents. But the problem is I need to have the attorney general deputy to read the documents and give approval that they can be released to you. So that's been now 2 to 3 weeks. So no hurry. They're not scurrying around to get that document. So built into the system, our legislators allowed Monsanto and others to come to town and did not put up a strong demand or demand that the government agencies or entities that are out there regulating them should be on top of its game. Not sleeping on the job, not lacking, but being on top of the game, because this is something, an unknown we're dealing with. We just can't go on Monsanto's or Pioneer's or Dow's words that these things are not harmful. We need to do our own independent monitoring. We need to do our own independent inspections. And when there are inspections, that should be recorded. And if there are violations of sort, they should be recorded so that the public would have some way of knowing. And yet, none of that. And so at this time, I still wait. So it's by design to defraud you, the general public, and myself of information. And so I get from the department, I talked to Russell Kokoban, the director of Department of Ag, and I'm asking for information from them as well. And this is the kind of reception you get. He assured me I will get my documents, and he assured me that they're not doing anything to obstruct. But a lot of the documents that I'm seeking should have been posted on a website, because there's such a great interest in this. You would think that small individual groups or individuals or what have you be interested in this GMO and want to be informed. If it's a good thing, you wouldn't want people creating arguments that are not true. So you would think you'd get all the information out there. And it seems that through this process of public records requests, we're still talking about government and information and whatever, they hold this information. And I'm going to read you just a bit of a response I got, one of two responses from the Agriculture Department. Their, I guess, communications public, I don't know what you call it. Dear Mr. Cox, we're in receipt of your email response to our July 23rd, 2013 email to you that explained the procedure we must go through before any records can be reviewed or copied by you and the fees related to the procedure. We are therefore somewhat puzzled by your reply in the email yesterday stating that you would like to visit our office and scan and copy the requested information at no cost to the government. As we said in our email, the pesticides branch inspection files may contain information that is protected from disclosure under the Section 92F13 Hawaii Revised Statute. We must review the file documents to identify and redact such protected information prior to providing to you. You see, they wait weeks to send you a stupid letter to tell you what you already know the law is. I'm not asking them for an education on the Uniform Information Practices Act. I already know that. I'm asking them to be proficient, because it says you have 10 days to do that, to provide this information unless some circumstances prevent you. But then the public has a right to walk into the office at any normal work hour and view the records. So this thing is skewed, and they swear that they're not doing anything to harass or delay or interfere with public access to records. So I don't need to be told that they need to protect confidentiality. If it is confidential or proprietary, there is a clause that allows, and a law that allows in the state of Hawaii, that when you submit information, it must be accompanied. If you feel that it's proprietary and protected and exempt from public release, you must file that document then. And then, therefore, the government should then have that letter in hand and identify those documents then. Those documents should not be loosely sitting around in the same file. So, therefore, I shouldn't have to pay you an extra 60, 80, 100, 300. Sometimes when Lingle was in, it was going to be a couple thousand dollars. And with the current Neil Abercrombie, it was going to be several thousand dollars just for a few months or a couple projects. So, again, they're not being forthright. They swear they are, though. They swear they're being honest and not impeding. So if I pay to, say, segregating these and have them redacted and what have you, that should have been already set aside, and they shouldn't just be hanging with the regular file, because there's a run a chance of it being disclosed in violation of the confidentiality clause. But I am, and the public, general public, is going to be charged, because they have to go now and separate this and charge us an hourly or quarterly rate, when in fact, if it was confidential, it should not have been in the file in the first place. So we have to pay for poor office work, and we have to pay and then be taken by the hand on every single occasion, be reminded and schooled on what the law says, when in fact the law is only being used to hinder and hamper public transparency and access to information. So in this case, now, you can see why it would be important, or it complements to when a company, a GMO company, comes in and they got things they want to hide or don't want it known. And maybe there are some legitimate practices that may be proprietary and they don't want the other companies to get it. No problem with that. I'm not. But the bigger problem is then you... If you go to these facilities and what have you, you now can be put on a terrorist list. And also, by me making a request of this information, then I too could go on a terrorist list, terrorist watch list, terrorist. And again, this, when I say we've lost it, you may not care about it, and you may think that the activists are out there pushing the buttons to take issues with the GMO and what have you. While there might be some remote chance that is happening, but it's not 100% across the board. I can tell you my only interest is to go and gather information and come back and share that with you, so you'd be better informed, so that you can, too, make decisions or support or vote or decide if an issue like in Kauai, the current pesticide bill that is being floated, or as we, the labeling of GMOs. But if they're withholding records and placing me on a terrorist list because I'm only asking, and I have a radio show here, and then I must demonstrate, by the way, to them that I have the capacity to disseminate this information via radio or website or through talks. That's part of the process. I have to show them, if I want to have a waiver of a certain amount of fees, I don't get it all waived, but I have to show that I can substantially disseminate this information. What is substantially? So we have been painted into a corner, and we've painted ourselves, we've aided in painting ourselves in a corner by sitting back and accepting the propaganda that is being disseminated, by accepting the lethargic approach that our legislators, people like Will Sparrow. For me, I told you last week, I think the guy should be out of politics. He is conflicted about most of anything, but for some reason, you folks over there in Everbeach and Waipahu seem to find some sweetness about him or something. But in the long run, he gets to go to Washington, or he gets to go to the state capitol here, drives around, as we say in the South, hadn't hit a lick at a snake in years for a job. And now he wants to elevate himself because he's schooled and skilled to depriving and denying you the rights and introducing the bill Vexatious Requester. Of all people, you would think that he would be doing just the extreme opposite. Tear down walls that and respecting companies' wishes. If it's proprietary, we wouldn't want to have anyone submitting a drawing or a draft of a proposal that others could go there, other competing companies could go there, and or techniques they're going to use, and they're making a proposal to the state health department or the or whatever for contractual purposes. You wouldn't want to have that information just laying around so the competitor could go in and just make a public request information records and see what the other person is doing, what strategy, what method, techniques, and all of that. I understand that. But when it impedes public access and when the public can't make an informed argument about GMOs and the labeling, for example. So we're off kilter. We are unable to, as citizens, unable to come in. I can't sit here and inform you. And I can't contend or compete with the fact that when it all else fail, just tell them, the public, we're going to wait until the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, get time to read the letters to see if they're releasable to you. So that built-in delay, it's fraudulent, it's un-American, and so these are the same people that has the luxury or have the luxury of putting you on a list, and they're on my list too, and you know what list it is, but again, it's just unfair. All of this comes about now because we bought into this war on terror, war on crime, war on drugs, and all of that. So we think it's working for us all when, in fact, it's coming back in a roundabout way and impacting all of us. All of us. So my question is just out of a side note, what military application is the GMOs? Is it plausible to think that? Because if you know that Agent Orange, for example, or the Roundup that they're using in glyphosates and all of that, that the big debate, is there a military application? Remember now, Agent Orange developed, researched on Kauai, and it was used in the war to defoliate in Vietnam or many other places. Some similar or actually the same types were used in African nations in heavily vegetated areas. So is it that the military is part of this game to conceal through our state governments? Is this Roundup the new Agent Orange for military applications? Or is the seed the product of the research in the seeds? Are they to be used in warfare later? Get a nation to rely on your food and your seed corn and your seeds and in turn pull the plug on them and bring them to their knees. You don't have to fight them anymore. You don't have to shoot them. You don't have to go to war with them. You starve them to death. I don't know. But again, I think there's a bigger issue. And again, am I being paranoid? Am I sitting here with a conspiracy that I'm conjuring up? No. I'm just asking the questions because across the board in state government, city government, if you want to know who's renting land from the state government, They got it layered now where if you go in and ask, well, does Pioneer rent that land? Is it state land? What have you? And immediately red flags go off. And the clerk will tell you, well, you know, normally I would be releasing this, but we were told that if you came in or if environmentalists came in and asked for these this information, we have to consult the attorney general. But now if I was just Joe Dummy walking in with no interest and I'm thinking, well, who decides who would ask? Well, I guess the regular citizen just wouldn't ask, so they don't have to worry about it. But this is what we're experiencing in this secret war. And what is it that I say and do that the government would be interested in? Well, they know that I'm not going to try to overthrow the government because then I'd have to have the responsibility of feeding all of these welfare farmers and all of the, they're in Dakotas and all of that. I'd have to take care of all the car dealers and car manufacturers and the banks. I'd have to come out of pocket and pay for that. I don't want to do that either, you know. So they know that we're not here to take over this country, and they know that we love this country. But they also know that we pose a threat. If we are equipped with information and afforded the opportunity to have good information, we can make informed arguments. We can approach the courts and file court actions and what have you. But we can't do that if they're concealing it. And to conceal it by going into town and paying the Abercrombies and hiring the Alicia Malafitis to go out and lobby for you, and go on and on and on. Now, it's a funny thing. If you're an animal activist, and follow me now, this is, I'm theorizing, but I want to lay this, it's based on a true story. And I can show you where elitism or special interests can exempt itself from certain laws that you and I. And follow this now. There is Poi Dogs and Ampersand. Poi Dog Ampersand Popoki. And its president, or one of the top officials in it, it's a nonprofit organization. This is the one that we talked about that received some, was slated to get some $330,000 plus that was automatically penciled in by Ernie Martin and some of the other council members that to authorize this in the budget. So anyway, on that, Blake O'Shea is a member. And who is Blake O'Shea? He's in the governor's office. He was a state legislator. Now, normally, on the normal curtain or the normal practices, animal rights people are to be considered not trustworthy, to be considered terrorists or potential terrorists. So how is it that Poi Dogs Ampersand Popoki could be in existence, getting city money to buy a van to drive around and neuter dogs when in fact we haven't had one of those in a while, but also on her organization's, the Poi Dogs Ampersand, is officials, high-ranking officials or employees of Monsanto or some of the GMO companies. I don't know if it's Pioneer, and I don't want to misspeak, but they are affiliated with the GMO. So how is it now? And if you could, if you give some thought and can figure it out, help me, please, because normally the normal circumstances is that my organization is in EnviroWatch, and I can assure you that every soul under the stars listen in on me and for many reasons. And they're probably going, dang, when is he going to do something? You know, probably begging to ask if they could just leave me alone because they know there's nothing to be got or had. But how is it that this organization can be placed up there to receive city money? And the governor's aide is an officer in it, and he is cohorting with the people, the GMO people. Now, not to say GMO people are bad, but in this context, I'm asking, why aren't they on? And why is Blake O'Shea having access to the governor's office and all of that if the general terms environmental and animal rights groups can be placed on or should be viewed as terrorist groups? You see, is it elitism? Is it fascism? Companies now own the government? What is it? So Snowden, and in one sense, he's my hero for this reason. He let us know that the people that are smarter than smart are stupider than stupid. Because if you now know that this guy has this propensity or the inability or he's not educated, but you hired him and you let him have access and you couldn't guard all of these secrets, something so massive and so grand, and you couldn't control it, yet no punishment. You see, the very things that they, if you are an animal rights group, remember there was a law passed and floated about, if you were PETA or EnviroWatch and you went into a slaughterhouse and you filmed it, there are some say you can be arrested for that. I don't know the exact title of the law, but you can see all of this. So how is it that Blake O'Shea can go in concert with, by the way, Alicia Maluafiti is the lobbyist for these GMO companies. So should the governor's office be listed as a terrorist group? Let's think about that. Probably back years ago when he was smoking marijuana and all the illicit drugs and what have you, and that maybe so, but now he's the governor, so maybe, I don't know, maybe he wouldn't be a terrorist. Maybe he's just a governor, and maybe Blake O'Shea now is just a spokesperson or cabinet level member. Who knows? But I know that Carol Cox and EnviroWatch and Animal Rights Hawaii and Advocates for Animals and what have you, and on, probably first on the list of being potential terrorists. And so, again, I share this with you not to talk about the global impact, and I also have to scratch my head and go, if all the other countries in having access, they're interested in Snowden, I don't care what Putin says or the others, they're not going to miss an opportunity to glean from him. I would be shocked and astounded if these countries didn't automatically ask for everything that he has before they even entertain talking to him or offer him some convoluted protection. I don't know, but I just can't imagine in today's world you would miss such an opportunity. These are not gentlemen that are fighting these wars. They are, you know, people that want power. So the safest thing to say in all of this, the other caller, let's just look at some of the development, how we got here. I was talking about in the early hour. Days before the March 20 invasion, USA Today, CNN, Gallup poll found support for the war was related to UN approval. Nearly 6 in 10 said that they were ready for such an invasion. Quote, in the next week or two. But that support dropped off if the United Nations backing was not first obtained. If the United Security Council were to reject the resolution paving the way for military action, 54% of Americans favored a U.S. invasion. And if the Bush administration did not seek a final Security Council vote, support for a war dropped to 47%. So they know all of this, and so this is why they want to be able to glean every tidbit, whether it's just you and I talking about the war. They can muster up and get the general consensus without your knowledge. So it's again, it's not about the real clandestine as we know it. It's just using information, your own general conversations, to manipulate you and manipulate others. That's their benefit. they're not going to just let that information, especially if it's at their fingertips, to not capture it, log it, and use it. They're not going to do that. They're going to take advantage of it. 2004, August, polls show that two-thirds, 67% of the American public believe the U.S. went to war based on incorrect assumptions. The morale of the U.S. troops has been subject to variations. Important issues are the vulnerability of the Humvee vehicles and the great number of wounded and maimed soldiers. But Humvees weren't in the picture when they were beating the war drums and trying to get you and lie to you. They were listening in on you, and they knew how to poke and prod and get you to a point where you will tolerate something, and that something being war, that something being errant bombs, or bombs that were just you looking for a couple people, so be it, collateral damages. Just drop the bomb and we'll say, oops. So this is the kinds of things that we stand back as American free people that we have let erode. And we all know the Constitution. We all talk about the Constitution and what it affords us. It's there, but some of our leaders believe that it's an obstacle. Some of them actually believe that if they could whittle away at it, well, being that they can't get rid of it, well, why bother? Just go ahead and listen in on people and we'll use, they will never know. So, anyway, and I'm sure by now our President Barack Obama probably uses and gleans and benefit from some of the same information that George Bush did through the listening and the wiretapping to decide what would be the sentiment if he were to employ or deploy drones and shoot people, American civilians, citizens abroad, that what would be the real fallout? Will he still be the good-looking guy that walks out of the White House with such great swagger? Obviously, he didn't just pull a drone out of the hangar and go flying. Clearly, he's a professor of civil rights and the constitutional law. Clearly, he has an army of advisors, the same agencies that existed and came into form when Mr. Bush created them. He has control over them, and it's a lot of the military industrialists that are there selling the bullets and bombs and planes and drones are still there. And he benefits from that. And I'm sure I wouldn't put it past him to say, let's test the water. What are we hearing out there? What's NSA hearing out there? Do you think we could get away with shooting Americans from the skies? Do you think we can do that? And, or, if you think it's 50-50, what can we do? Call our friends over there at the Carol Cox Show and see if he could put something good on there and bring one of our guys an interview and have Carol to ask the question about, aren't these people, they supposed to be developing a weapon that can melt you? And Carol sits there and makes that statement and crosses that threshold. And the rest is history. You get to shoot people from the sky. And we are still sitting here debating, is that right? Is it wrong? So this is the thing that scares me about the NSA. The spying, the listening, the eavesdropping, that's been happening all along in my life. So I wasn't shocked and really don't care, because whatever happened, happens. But the reality is when a nation of people are lied to and we spend our own monies to spy on ourselves, but who is it that really get to call the shots with that information? That's what Congress and the Senate should be really worried about, is that what is the real oversight? You got the FICA courts and what have you, but what is the real oversight? Who guards against this abuse, the potential abuse. Could be anybody. If Snowden could do it, who else in the NSA is not listening? I give you an example that I often think about when I think about Snowden. Let's say he did something like this. Or what if there's other people in place? Forget the great international level of this. What if there were some thugs in government and they get to, in the NSA, and they get to listen in on the bankers or major CEOs of companies? And they listen. Individuals now, not the NSA. They're employed by the NSA and they're employed by the contractor. So they sit and get a ring and create an extortion ring. As an individual, they can sit and listen to the head of some major company and approach that person and say, well, you know, you want to hear yourself talking to that 21-year-old girl that you, when you were on the travels to Sweden, and you want to see pictures, and you want to hear what you sound like speaking broken German or whatever language, or Deutsch? Would you like to see that? Well, we have that information, and, you know, we could get rid of this information for a couple million. Is that plausible? If you are hiring the likes, as you, based on their own words and Snowden's expertise and his experience, what's there to guarantee that you don't have common thugs built in the fabric and gleaning information and stripping and ripping and mining information for personal levels? Can we be guaranteed that none of that practice exists? I don't think so. Especially with the revelations of Snowden. This is why I say reauthorizing NSA is one thing, but we have no guarantees. We haven't seen anyone come out in Congress and say, stop this ship. It's not leaving the port until we know exactly what's going on. And I understand that Kurt Caldwell said that he could handle that, and he was going to hire a local private investigator to investigate it. No, I'm just kidding. But it seems to work. Get you out of trouble. But that's what I think about all of this NSA and some of you. That's why I can't engage in conversations. I'm worried about all of the dots being connected and how the greater implications, the great robbery, the great intrusion, and the potential, if there is a Snowden there, and I don't know what Snowden did, I don't know, but based on how they presented him and his experience and his expertise, there could be 100 Snowdens in there ripping people off. And we probably would never know if they were, because the CEOs of companies are not going to do that. What if in trading companies, you had a guy who would, there are some people in history, we know bankers have learned to steal 10 cents off of every account or every transaction. And at the end of his period of theft, he go away with millions. What's there to say that no one, what safeguards are there to say that there are no people in the contractor's office that can possibly mine information and extort or use this information for profit? I don't know. If Snowden did it, he was motivated for some reason. Maybe his patriotism. I don't know what it was. But I'm just asking those questions and what it's about. But anyway, I got several things on my plate that I'm working on, and I sure like to share with them with you. Next week we'll be talking about a couple things, and hopefully I can break the ice and get some of those documents on the GMOs. Because I've spent letter after letter, phone call after phone call, just simply trying to get what you and I should have, be able to walk in an office and look at. And again, I'm being repetitive, but repeating myself is that if it's confidentiality state, city offices, then it should not be commingled with the information that is available to the public. We can't see it anyway, so why should it be in the file? And when they file that declaration timely, it should be separated, automatic, because they have met the test. They say that it's proprietary and confidential, so it should never, ever go in the same file as this file that the public is going to see. So therefore, you shouldn't have to tack on a cost to separate those files. But if you want to obstruct public access and you want to dilute transparency, then I guess that's what you would do. You just commingle everything, and then when the public is interested, you give them this lecture about we got to separate it and we can't release anything unless it's blah, 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 right? So it's by design. Our government is participating, our government, the local government, is participating in this conspiracy of sort to defraud and deny the public access. So that's why you don't see the halls at City Hall filled with informed people. You can dismiss them as being emotional radicals or terrorists who just don't want GMO and want to impede business progress and what have you, blah, you know. So, again, I hope that I didn't bore you, and maybe we'll get some other things going on. But I'm still trying to work on something at the Coalina boat ramps for you fishermen out there. What I can tell you, and this is changing the subject, in the future, if any of you fishermen are listening out there, here is the key to having Jeff Stone put back the boat ramp immediately. Approach the Land Use Commission, asking them to make it a condition that no further permits be issued or considered until Jeff Stone and his development company come into compliance and rebuild, replace, and reopen the boat ramp there at Coalina Marinas. If you do that, some little inside birdies tell me that that would be the ideal approach, because it is a binding condition, it is a required condition, and if, again, if any of you fishermen out there that is still interested in getting your boat ramp back, a little birdie told me that that is what would be the appropriate action. Now, that is what I argued a long time ago, that he should never be able to get another permit to do anything, to dig a ditch or anything. But before anyone ever process another permit for them or allow even a fence to be put up, no building permits or anything should be. You should write as a group and complain to the Land Use Commission and write to the Planning Commission. So there is a solution there for you, but you must approach it. And you might want to ask them while you're at it to enforce the rules that there should be a school built out there. There should be a fire station built there. If you look back at the agreement, that's what it say. That's a condition. The street should be dedicated to the city. So that brings another point up. If you want to know yet another amongst thousands of reasons that you shouldn't even consider Mufi Hanneman for anything, is that look at Coalina. There are many things there. It was under, and Mufi Hanneman had authority and all of that during his administration. He could have set things straight too. But friends are more important, and money is more important to Mufi Hanneman. He's not serving the people. He's serving the people. that of his special ilk or his interests. So anyway, that's the way the game's played, I guess, and what do you do about it? But I'm hoping that some of you grab hold of that idea at the boat ramp, because the boat ramp would afford greater access and also for emergency response. You know, to go for a fireboat to leave pretty much at to respond along that coast in that area, they have to go into, they're already in Campbell Industrial Park at the entrance, but they'll have to drive around to the backside at Phoenicians, launch their boat, and then go. What if they had a marina there and the fishermen can be easily accessible and it's safe, and sometimes the swell that comes in creates a problem? And also the mixing in the Phoenicians' little boat ramp there, it creates a risk to the boaters coming in there because they have to cross the lanes of the bigger ships or the boats and what have you. So anyway, we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully it wasn't all bad. Take care, and I'll see you next week.
To the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Upon a time, a long, long time ago, wherever you'd lead me, I would surely follow. Girl, you put me through some pain and misery, and now you are standing on my doorstep, telling me how much you need me. times I begged for you to come home. But you laughed at me and said, let me alone. Through my burning tears, I saw you walk away. And now you're begging me to forgive you. But this time, baby, it's your turn to pay. Baby, ain't nobody.